Welcome to the Pictures of Lily podcast, Vintage Edition. I'm your host, Lily Moayeri. I have been a music journalist since 1992, and I interview a lot of music-related people. This podcast is about my experience behind the story, what my experience is doing the interviews, just to give you a snapshot of what it's like on the other side of the digital recorder. Over the last couple of years of the Pictures of Lily podcast, we've shifted to the Vintage Edition, where I'm sharing my experiences about specific interviews with the bonus of original audio from the artists in those interviews. These interviews pull from my 33-year archive, many of which are recorded on cassette tape. Pictures of Lily. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Pictures of Lily podcast, Vintage Edition. This is year 6, episode 101, another major milestone episode. We publish monthly with a new episode posting on the second Wednesday of each month. You can find us on every platform by going to picturesoflily.com, where you can subscribe or follow us and also connect to us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Pandora, Amazon, and Audible. Although it's really best to listen to the podcast straight from the source at picturesoflily.com, as it is the highest quality audio and avoids copyright restrictions. This episode is my second interview with Daft Punk from 2001. One more time, we're gonna celebrate. Oh yeah, all right, don't stop the dancing. One more time, we're gonna celebrate. Here are a few snapshots of my second interview with Daft Punk. Before we move forward with this interview, I highly recommend checking out the episode with my first interview with Daft Punk in 1997 and the classic Pictures of Lily podcast episode on my experiences with them. This interview took place on March 16th, 2001, at the time of their second album, Discovery. This interview is almost 4 years to the day after the first one and also takes place in Miami, but in a more formal location, which was the EMI offices. It's where that infamous picture of me and the guys was taken. By this time, we had interacted with each other many times, and I was a lot more relaxed, and I feel they were too. Once again, my voice is shot because it was Winter Music Conference, and I had been out all night, every night. Here's the interview in its entirety, and honestly, it's one of the most prescient interviews of my career, all down to Toma and Guy Man.
Okay, so how have things changed since, like, last time? Because it's, like, 4 years. And, like, everything in dance music's changed.
Yes.
Since before.
I think your dance music now is everywhere. I was just saying before that I think it was underground before because there was a lot of oppression, and I think now
somewhere
from the system, from the people that would society, the people that would not understand that, and I think now underground does not exist mainly anymore. Not because the music has changed really, but because it's been understood and there's nothing really oppressing this music. It's been accepted, so it's much more free and open-minded. So that's why there's no fighting situation really anymore, really. So that's the main thing. I think what we think is that purism and techno and house music in a very purist way was maybe an important thing when this genre of music was really a trend in order just to survive. But now that it's been understood, it's really important to be more open-minded rather than to because something that can be a radical purism, you know, when you as a minority, once it's been accepted, it just can become fascism. You know, if you try to make something pure and then it's mainstream and pure mainstream.
Why do you think it's been understood now?
Well, it's not too late, you know. I think. After 10 years, it's good that finally people understand it. So it's been understood because a lot of people have been fighting for it to be understood. And we've been fighting for it to be understood, and a lot of people to say that it was not just a trend. It was not the drug thing. It was not, you know. It was just music, you know.
But it's still a lot of people aren't being accepted dance music, you know what I mean? You guys are one of the few people that are actually successful in like a big way, knowing that for dance music kind of way. Because you know there's like different levels of like, oh well, that's pretty good for a dance album, or that's pretty good for a compilation. Whereas you guys, the amount of records you sell are good for any kind of music. But there's not a lot of people that are still like you in dance music. Does that make sense?
We don't know why. I don't know what I don't think there's many albums, you know, dance album. I was just saying, you know, I think the problem is that maybe dance music is, and that we see it also, we felt it not maybe like paradox. Our problem is that dance music is around singles, you know, single market. Yeah. And mainstream music is around albums, you know, and I think it's pretty much the same music in both things now, in both networks. The only difference is not on the formats of the track itself. One track is more underground or one track is more commercial, but it's more the fact that there's more albums on one side and more singles on the other one. Mm-hmm. And that's true that it's not by changing your music that you will cross over, that you will, rather than maybe right now by putting out an album instead of three singles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people love this album.
Or everybody hate it.
You hate your album?
No, or hate it. They love it or they hate it.
No, I don't know anybody that hates it.
Oh yeah?
No. Everybody always brings it up to me, and they think it's amazing.
Oh yeah, that's good to know. We didn't know. We don't have any.
I told them that the vocoder stuff bugs me, but other than that, it's all bad.
This is just production, though. Mm-hmm. I think people tend to focus too much on production. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love song number 8. That's what I know. I have that on repeat. Why are you laughing?
Because because everybody has a different favorite one. So it's the best compliment, you know? People that say, oh, my favorite one is... I know, see, actually, 8 is one of the least favorite of many people.
See,
I like.
That's so.
So a lot of people are saying, yeah, I like the other one, I don't like 5 and 8, or I don't like na-na-na-na.
You said 5 is the other one, huh? Which one do you like the best?
None.
No.
We love 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
When I got, when they sent me the single for One More Time, I think I played it 15 times. And so I was like, okay, no, I don't have to hear it like ever again. But now when I hear it, I still want to listen to it. But every once in a while I'll be gone, oh my god, can I put it at the very bottom of the CD pile so I can't pull it out? So it's hard to pull it out, I have to take out all these other things to pull it out from the bottom.
In the car, you mean?
No, in my house. I put it at the bottom of the pile so I can't reach it. But I still kind of find it, you know? So I don't want to make myself sick of something that I like. And I just listen to it every once in a while, so keep it.
We can make you a prescription if you want.
Why do you always want to wear masks in your pictures?
We stopped, now we became robots.
Well,
before we were just wearing masks. Wearing masks was maybe not having an identity, defined identity.
Okay.
Now we have an identity which is very visible. It's everywhere. But at least it's still not opposite to what we did in the past, which is still play with a public image, you know, and being anonymous in a certain way.
Why do you want to play with that?
Because we're having fun, we're more having fun creating things than doing promotion. And making a regular photo shoot is making a promotion phase. Being a robot in a photo shoot, you know, when it's more creative act, we think, you know, because we're having fun with it and it's entertaining. And it's between playing a role and playing a role is creation in a way, it's acting in a bit in a way.
Nobody can get away with what you're getting away with. You're getting away with murder. Nobody is. It's another bad.
You know what? You know what?
No, I love it.
No, but you know, you can only get away with something you did. You started from. We started with.
Right.
And I think it would be impossible for us to become that if you're not that from the beginning. And I think a lot of people want to change something, but you. So sometimes people say, oh yeah, you can do all of these things because now you're what you are. You know, I'll be able to do those things later. But that's bullshit because in fact, we did it from the beginning and whether it worked or not, and that's true that the more we get away with it, the more we'll be able to do more things like that. But we took those risks from the beginning and believe us, it was even harder at the beginning to make this accepted as it is now. Mm-hmm. So it's maybe unfair because it's easier and easier in a way, but it's more and more work at the same time. We tend to think that we've been very lucky, very, very, very lucky maybe. We still are very fortunate to, but we've been very lucky with a few things and we thought maybe it wasn't fair at some point, you know, that to be lucky like that at the right time, and because it could have been, but at the same time, we've worked more and more and more and more. And now, the more we work, the more we think it's not unfair, but the more we think it's maybe less. It's still luck, but it's become a lot of work at the same time.
Right.
So we feel better with it. We don't feel like
uncomfortable. Like
yeah, because before it was maybe uncomfortable when you see like we don't deserve anything,
yeah.
And we tend to, because we work very much now, we tend not to think we deserve it, but we're at least are happy with what we do, and are not ashamed of this attention.
Yeah. Because the girl from Ayers label called me, and she's like, what are they doing with Daft Punk? Because we can't do that. We don't think we can do what they're doing. It's like, I was talking
about... From what label?
From Ayer, where Ayer signed Astralworks.
Yes.
Well, she was saying, she's like, they didn't send out the Daft Punk record. I'm like, no, they're making us come in to listen to it. This is like, you know, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, they don't give it to us. We have to go to the office. And then she's like, and that's it? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, and they're getting away with this? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, we can't get away with that over there. And I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm like, everybody's accepted it. Nobody's saying, no, I don't want to do that. They call us...
No, some people haven't accepted it, but it's funny because after all, it's just ego. You know, in France, there's just like article about the guy that writes about the fact that he has to go there, and it's like very pretentious from us, you know, to making him move. So he doesn't speak really about anything else, but is
right.
Himself.
And yeah,
just saying, yes, I had to enter the office, and you know. So I think, I think we really open for dialogue with the media, especially even though it's not like what we want to, you know. So I think making an interview is not a way, oh yeah, we want to do an interview, rather than really respecting the media people, but at the same time we're not chasing the media, and it's among other things. So and we're not asking for the media to chase us either. So
but they're doing it anyway.
I don't know, but we've never been after the media,
yeah.
Really. And the fact is that we're really I think open for dialogue, but I don't know. But the record company, they're nowhere after the media anyway. So it's hard to.
But what's hilarious, okay, this is like all the covers that you've had are like almost exactly the same. Do you know what I mean? I think that's hilarious. It's such a control you've got over them.
No, they could have done with us what
they
wanted. I cannot say. I think, you know, I think the masks look really good. So, you know, there have been extremely great pictures of the mask. But the mask, when you see them live, we are robots. We really look good, and I think a lot of photographers, they're the one picture. They say, "Oh wow, that's great," but that's the mask also. So
right.
People should be put themselves sometimes to limits, too much limits,
yeah.
And we could have, I don't know, but I don't think I haven't seen really the
covers.
Every 23?
The covers. Yeah. And Herb and all the rest
of them. Yeah, also CMJ. And, yeah. So it's in the mega store, you get like two or three.
Right.
It's funny.
It is funny, that's what I mean. I'm looking at it like there's so much control over everything and nobody else does.
Yeah, but it's not cool.
People bigger than you don't have that kind of control.
What?
Bands that are bigger than you don't have that kind of control.
Yeah, they get more money though.
Yeah, but you're doing okay.
No, but. We got much more control than money-wise,
yeah.
in the deals.
But don't you prefer it?
Of course we prefer.
Because I know that you made that decision like before the beginning even.
Yes, but
because you just licensed the record.
But you can't get everything, that's what I'm saying. You can't get everything. And I think we live in a society where people, the money is really what people want. So that's why they can't get the control, because in fact, what you said, you can't get away with both. Really, really, you can't get away with both. And we chose
control
is freedom, you know. I don't like, because people say like we're control freaks. Control is controlling your destiny without controlling other people. We're not trying to manipulate the people, rather than just controlling what we do ourselves. And controlling what we do is just being free, you know. So people should stop about thinking that someone, an artist that control what it does is like controlling, it's a bad thing or control, because it's just something that can be very free. So maybe it's something that people can be jealous of, but there's nothing else, you know. You people can maybe more being unhappy to envy us rather than to think it's not a good thing, because a lot of artists today are just victims and are just not having in control, and they're not free, and that's pathetic. But that's not something that we're just trying to first to be free, and then it's maybe a good thing because it's so that for other people can, if they're doing it from the beginning, and that's really the so. Yeah.
The problem is that if you give up that and then you have the money, then you have even less freedom than you had before you had money.
Yeah.
Because you have to, you know, do what you're, because all these people are living off of what you're doing now. So you can't stop because everybody else's life will stop too.
Yeah, and because if you start really to be dependable on money, then the money has still to pour into to feed your expenses, you know. So the good thing is it's true that most of the revenues from the record are really put back into a production company in order to produce and create more things. So it did not affect really our everyday life as individuals, and it's a good thing.
Yeah. Tell me about the masks. I mean, did you have the idea of what you want them to look like, or did somebody else just come up with that?
No, we most of these things it's personal initiatives globally. After we it's a teamwork today. I think we make the music ourselves, but even the music was teamwork with Ron Anthony and Todd Edwards and Snake, and we really wanted to have these ideas that we had both, and to now that we maybe show that we could do stuff together, just the two of us on the first album, to do a teamwork. But still having a very few people to express what we want to express.
Mm-hmm.
So the it's just something that fitted in the big picture, it's a lot of this album and everything that's been that we create around it is very great personal experiences of creating. You know, it's not like having finished to create. The big fun is into making the songs and writing the songs and becoming a robot rather than being a robot, in fact. No, it's really... Actually, being a robot is really hard, in fact. So, but becoming it is really the fun part. Becoming it was the fun part.
Yeah. Tell me about this.
Yeah, you've got...
What's the idea?
Well, there's many ideas. The first idea is to break the limits of the CD format itself.
Okay.
So which means that you can get an album and you get 1 hour of music and then you get more music inside. Mm-hmm. But not only you get more music, but this music might not even be done yet. And it's really great to find a new channel where... there's an open door, an open access to more, but not more that had to be done before. So it's not two CDs for the price of one or anything like that, rather than really establishing a connection between people that listen to our music and between ourselves, and really being able to make a mixes and many if we want, because there's no limits of time. And for those people to get this music and to listen to this music, and even a track that would have been done today that can be online tomorrow.
Mm.
So that's the first thing. The other thing is to really express ourselves using the internet. And the other thing also is to bring back some value in the CD itself, where between getting the music online or getting the CD, it's pretty much the same today. So and buying a CD, that's what we're saying, should not become a charity thing for a record industry.
Mm.
So, and it's really important. So. That's what it became in a way. It's like people that would buy a CD say, okay, I'm buying a CD because I want to help the artist. And it's bullshit in a way to have to think like that. It's a real thing, and we're grateful. But even as users, it would be better and more obvious to say, okay, I'm buying a CD, because when I get a CD, I get more stuff than when I get it online or when I get it on Napster, which is a cool thing with us. You know, I think the important thing is to make a difference. And I think Napster is a very positive thing because it raises questions, it raises issues. It's like a electroshock to the artists in the record industry, for people to react and come up with new things and new cool things that are worth something more. And maybe this is an answer to that as well.
Just because I'm totally against Napster, but I never thought about it the way you're saying that.
But we're not against Napster either.
Yeah, but I am.
We are not. I think we are against. I don't know if you say we are against Napster as a legal thing.
Okay.
But we're not against Napster as an illegal thing.
Okay.
You know.
I think so.
Yeah. Let's say that I think as long as people know that it's not granted and they're doing something illegal when they're on Napster, then it's cool because they still know the problem. It's like
they're still going after the music.
It's like when you go, I don't know. The important thing is the consciousness of doing something illegal or illegal rather than having being able to do it. You know, we're not I don't think artists or people should be like the police or things. The danger to Napster is that it becomes a normal thing to use Napster,
okay,
rather than to still become there's no problem with being a hacker, you know.
Okay.
And if Napster is 50 million hackers, then they can exist, but they should have the conscious that they're hackers.
Right.
And they can keep on doing that, but
right.
It's good.
As long as they're aware.
As long as they're aware that they're hacking things. And we're not against, you know, they can say that they're hacking things, that they are against the corporate labels and things like that, and they can do that. And it's subversive, yes.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's subversive, if Napster would become something completely approved, established, then that would be the danger of it.
Okay.
So if Napster now is shutting down and there are other, you know, like underground subversive equivalent to Napster, but that are existing between people, but that are not accepted, that's not a big, really big threat, in fact, because people will still know now that they're doing something illegal. They can still doing it, but gradually there won't be the consciousness that music should be legally for free, rather than music can be, if you hack it, it can be for free. Well, if you don't pay when you go on the subway, it's for free too, but you still have to pay if you want, but we're not, you know, it's not a big deal if you, it's more this approach that people should see. It's like I don't know, maybe it's like drugs, you know. It's drugs is not something that it, you know, whatever, you know, it's, people might not deserve to go to jail when they take drugs. That doesn't mean that drugs should be illegal.
That's okay, yes, you're making me see it differently. Nobody's ever made me see it differently, you know. You're first person, because I can totally see what you're saying. And that's completely acceptable.
Because I don't think it's a threat to record sales or anything. Like people are doing it, right? It's not. It's in no way promoting things, but it's more a threat to the status of music in conscious people. Whether it's music as a price or as a value, like any work, like any article from journalists, like anything, you know. Well, you. But it's not. It's not what the industry is saying right now.
You saw this
ago. Yeah.
Can I take a picture of you with my camera?
For
you ask? For myself.
For yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And if it's not good, we'll get rid of it.
So just the three of us?
No, just you two.
Why?
Because I want to take a picture of myself.
But put it like that. Let's do a picture of the three of us.
I'll get Sandra to do it. Sandra,
yes.
Will you take a picture of us?
Sure.
How hilarious that the picture of the three of us that came from this interview wouldn't have happened without Tomas' insistence. There is a print version of this interview already published in the paid tier of the Pictures of Lily newsletter. The newsletter goes out every couple of weeks and you can subscribe to it for free. For my paid subscribers, I'm posting bonus newsletters that include print-only interviews from my 33-year archive, including classic ones from the 90s, with a cross-section of people from The Cure to Oasis, Blur, Portishead, of course, Daft Punk, and more to come. For founding members, there are additional interviews with Noel Gallagher, Damon Albarn, more Daft Punk, and Talvin Singh. I will link the Pictures of Lily newsletter in this podcast if you'd like to subscribe to it for free. Any paid subscriptions to the Pictures of Lily newsletter go straight to supporting the production of this always free podcast. From myself and my co-producer and editor, Lauren Schroeder, thanks for listening. And if you have a chance to subscribe or follow the podcast on any of the podcast platforms, please do so and please rate and review. You can connect to us on picturesoflily.com, and from there you can choose your preferred podcast platform or Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or Pandora or Amazon or Audible. You can also find the playlist for the podcast episodes on Spotify and YouTube.
One more time, I've been feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate, celebrate and dance so free. One more time, this got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate, celebrate and dance so free.
Thanks for listening.
Pictures of Lily.